team sitting in the stands.
God, I love this song. But I might love this guy more. Not only is he one of the all-time great play-by-play voices, he's also one of the all-time great humans. And he has been being pestered by Jesse for months to come on the show.
Yeah, way to go, Jesse.
And his schedule has not allowed for it, or finally he just caved to the annoyance of Jesse constantly bothering.
Either way, it's a win for me.
It's a W for us, absolutely.
Hopefully he has not put us under the same category that Jeff Passan put certain shows. Do not answer or ignore on his phone. It is the great Brian Anderson on Wilde and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. I'm actually here at American Family Field. I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I'm watching the hustle and the bustle that's going on. I'm not on this series. I'm on the Philly series, Philly Dodger series, but I can tell you all of our TBS trucks are being loaded in right now. What a scene it is in the South Dock. And by the way, does Jesse, do you guys let him speak on the radio?
Yes.
More than they
Rarely.
Should.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like Jesse probably needs to do a confessional here, because I was more than willing and ready to come on your show on multiple occasions and then got bumped off the program.
What?
What?
Yeah,
Jesse bumped.
That did happen.
Jesse bumped Brian Anderson.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I just want to clear the record about my schedule and me fitting you in and all that.
I can tell you the exact date that BA was originally.
I'm guessing it was Micah Parsons related.
It was
the
Friday after the Micah Parsons trade. We were scheduled to have Brian join us.
Brian, what did you think of the Micah Parsons trade? Did you think that moved Green Bay up into the next tier? You're a jack of all trades, sports wise.
Well, you know, I did do the NFL for 2 years, and that's probably the last NFL game I'll ever do. But, no, I had no opinion, and Jesse let me down easy. He was very, very politically correct in his, like, hey, no thanks, we don't need you anymore, so beat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's good. How is Micah Parsons doing? I don't know. I haven't watched the Packers game yet.
He's been dynamite. He's been as good as advertised.
Okay. More importantly. More importantly, Brian fits right in on this show. I have no opinion on that. I do that every day on this show.
Yeah, I'm not exactly your best source for Green Bay Packers news. I don't think I could name like five players on the Packers. Is Mason Crosby still kicking?
He's not. No, he's competing with us nowadays. So we love him.
I
am curious.
He's my hometown
guy.
I was there for his Hall of Fame induction.
I know.
Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
And by the way, I know we're going to talk Brewers and we're excited to have you, but the fact that you took on tennis on your already burgeoning resume, I feel like Tausch has so much love and passion about tennis that if we wanted to, we could turn this into Tausch's tennis.
Quick
10
question
minutes.
For BA, because we'll do a quick tennis minute before we get to the Brewers. Is
tennis
it possible?
We should make that a segment. Sponsor it.
Love it.
Brought to you by
Babolat. Babolat, whatever that tennis.
Babolat.
There you go. Babolat.
I'm a Wilson man myself, but Babolat.
Okay. I'm trying to think of another racket quick. I can't off the top.
Tennis is the only sport where the uniform is what you would wear under your clothes in any other sport. You're actually out there in your underwear.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Tausch Tennis Minute.
BA, is it possible? We just had the greatest generation with Joker and Rafa and Fed. Is it possible? Yeah. We all thought there was going to be a lull. Is it possible? And I heard Johnny Mack say that these guys might even be better. Sinner and Alcaraz. Is it possible that could be the case?
Yeah. No, I think it's happening. It's now. It's not even speculation anymore. And the way Johnny Mack puts it, and Jim Courier, and, you know, guys like more contemporary players that I worked with at Roland Garros, like Chris Eubanks and Sam Querrey, the things that these guys say is really what got my attention, because Alcaraz, and Sinner to some extent, but really Alcaraz, was able to pull from those three, or those three you mentioned, the big three, and even add Andy Murray in that, so the big four, they all did something a little different. You know, everybody had their own little different strength that they made them special, and now Alcaraz kind of does all of those things. And it's really just up to him to choose what he wants to do in a particular match. So, yeah, I think we're there. It went from the – Jim Courier coined it the new two. So it went from the big three to the new two, and that window closed for a lot of those guys, like, in my opinion, like Taylor Fritz and Zverev and all these guys.
Medvedev.
Had a chance to win, you know, between the eras, and those two – at ages 21, 22, now 22, 23, they've eliminated that. It's going to be really hard for anybody to win a Grand Slam, in my opinion, in the next few years with those two guys.
I wish we had more time, because I would love to ask you about Djokovic and the fact he's probably the third or fourth best player, but now you just said it, that when he'd have to beat both to win another Grand Slam. So how does he go about moving forward, knowing he can still play at an incredibly high level, but he can't get there?
Because he's going to run into him in the quarters or the 16s. He's never going to get to the point where he can, because those guys are on opposite ends of the bracket all the time.
Yep.
And they're never going to be able to get through those. And that goes for everybody. Mm-hmm. The only guy, so I will say, like, the one guy that I've gotten to know, and I got to know his father really well, and I really like the family, is the Shelton family. Brian's a coach. Ben is obviously the great talent. Ben's got a chance because he's only adding to his game, and he's left-handed, and he's got a violent serve. So he's kind of that guy that could have a chance to pop one here or there, I would say.
Let's go. Let's go.
There's this other kid named João Fonseca. That's another kid to keep an eye on. He's still a teenager, bud.
This is great.
Do you want to keep talking tennis? I thought he was on over a minute.
Let me tell you something. We're way over a minute.
That is so awesome.
I love it. It is from a watch standpoint. I legit, after the retirement of Rafa and Fed, thought I'd be blah. But these cats, man, the matches they've put together, dynamite. All right.
You waited 3 months, and we're not even going to talk Brewers.
Yeah, all right, BA. So the vibe I'm getting, Jason is super nervous.
I am.
The Brewers just put together the greatest regular season. They're the one seed. They had the best record in baseball, and he is filling his britches because it could be the Cubs coming in, and just the thought that something bad could happen is overwhelmed. And I think he's like a lot of Brewer fans, not all. Can you help talk him off that ledge?
I mean, that's the symbol of the epitome of the difference between pro mentality and Joe mentality.
Oh, hey, Joe Wilde.
Pros versus Joes.
Joe Wilde.
That's Joe mentality right there. Joe mentality is not wanting to take on those at the mountaintop. And I'm relishing a Cubs-Brewers matchup. I think that would be incredible for baseball, certainly incredible for TBS, my people. So I'm all in for that. We'll see what happens today between Cubs Padres. I think both the Brewers are going to be underdogs no matter who they play for the rest of the postseason. It doesn't matter, even though they have the best record. And I hope the Brewers are hearing all this. I know they are. But basically the phrase is, this is the worst team to have the best record in baseball history. And I love that, because that's how the Brewers are functioning. The game's way easier to play when you're an underdog, way easier. And I've seen it a million times, especially at Wrigley, especially in Philadelphia. When the home team is not having great success, the fans turn on them fast. And that's not going to happen here in Milwaukee. Like, you know, they're not going to hear boos like that. But I saw it with the Diamondbacks and the Phillies in the NLCS a couple of years ago. You know, Philadelphia basically had that series won. And then they struggled in Arizona, and then they came back, and they struggled early in game six. And next thing you know, Phillies fans are all over their own players, and they're booing their own players. And next thing you know, the Diamondbacks went to the World Series, which was the shock of my baseball postseason broadcasting career. So I would just say, like, it doesn't really matter until the games happen. I don't know what the Brewers are going to be like. There's too many players that have not done this. They've not been in the fire in the playoffs, which is very intense. And on the flip side of that, that's actually maybe a good thing, because they may not know any different. They're going to feel it. You know, I'm just sitting here in the parking lot, like I mentioned today. They're going to feel it when they show up today. And they're not going to be able to park where they normally park. They're going to see all this activity going on with, you know, not just one production truck for television. There's four out there. And instead of eight cameras, there's 25 cameras. And there's just going to be a lot of media, and you're just, you can't make it normal. As hard as you want to try to make it normal and make it feel like a regular season occurrence, it's just not. There's media, there's press conferences. Everybody's going to be subject to people standing around them all the time. So those are the things that I would say, like, are most concerning for me with the Brewers, just because they haven't really dealt with that very often. They had home games last year, but now they're going to have road games guaranteed. And obviously, if they go down to Wrigley, the intensity of all of it. So I think it's all worth talking about. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of opinions on how it's going to go. Nobody knows how it's going to go, because we just, one break can change everything. And so I think there's reason to be optimistic, because this team plays a certain style of baseball that is conducive to the playoffs. I call it the humble approach, where it's one guy just kind of turning the lineup over to the next guy. So I think the Brewers are more than equipped to make a run, and with their bullpen situation, they are they're as good as any bullpen out there, and that's really what it boils down to.
Talking with Brian Anderson, who I love, even though he just pointed out my terrible average Joe mentality. here's why I have this mentality. A, it's the Cubs, who it just feels like they are the Lex Luthor. And with Jesse Nelson, who you may have heard was at one point in the spring questioning the veracity of the manager's employment situation.
Why does it have to come up every time we do this with anybody?
Because it happened. Secondly, his hatred of an iconic guy who chose a different job in Craig Counsell. I always worry about that creating bad juju. But that's not even it, Brian. It's that not that long ago, I was looking not only at the best bullpen in baseball, but a starting rotation that had Freddie Peralta, Quinn Priester, who they never lose when he pitches, a finally healthy again Woody, and this young kid that ended up in the All-Star game because he was so blank and dominant in the Miz. And now I hear your buddy Jeff Levering on one of our other shows say, well, they're going to go with Freddie and then Priester, and then they got to figure out what they're going to do in game three, and then they're going to go back to Freddie. Like, I was really excited about how deep the pitching was, and now that's what's making me nervous. Is that wrong of me?
Yeah, you're so wrong about all of that. Because first of all, Woodruff is aside. That's a different story, you know. And we don't know what his health status is going to be. And you know, he's been great, but also he's coming back from major shoulder surgery. So mm-hmm. I don't think anybody in the camp, the goal was to get as much out of Woodruff as you could get. The goal for Woodruff is to get as much out of his pitching as he could get. He's a free agent. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't in the plans, but also everybody understood from start one to start 12 that it was a total liability whether he was going to be able to get to the finish line or not. It's just rare coming back from shoulder surgery that, you know, nobody in their right mind is going to expect Brandon Woodruff to go be 2018 Brandon Woodruff. So that I think that was a box that was already checked, maybe okay. Not by the fans, but by the club. The Mizorowski picture is he is a rookie. He's taken on a little water right now. It's a lot of mental and physical fatigue. He's at an innings level that he's never been. So even more so than Woodruff, this has always been part of the internal discussion of, you know, what you do with the Miz. And he did get off to this great start, and then the league figures it out. You know, they're trying too. They're pros too. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's getting hit a little bit, and he's going to have to make that next wave of an adjustment. He can elevate out of the bullpen, which is scary, because he already elevates pretty high as it is. So now the question is, he really hasn't done that. He just did it the one time down the stretch. So I don't think any of that was ever going to be, let's roll Jacob Mizorowski out there for seven innings in a playoff game. That never even crossed anybody's mind. Now it's more like, do you use him as an opener? Do you use him in the middle of the game, maybe when you're down, they call it a down game when you're losing. You're trying to find him a soft runway in a postseason, which he's never experienced. So I would say from a fan perspective, you get excited about a guy who made the All-Star team and he's going to be amazing, and he is. But that's probably down the line, and you'll get what you get out of him now. Internally, this has never been this is no surprise, and it's never been a real part of the scheme on what they're going to do. The biggest decision I'll have to make is who pitches game three, and that's going to be determined by who the opponent is. And it really boils down to the handedness of the opponent, because the Padres are heavy left-handed. The Cubs aren't. And so that's really what that boils down to. So I don't think that's anything new for this organization from August. So what you're going through right now is probably maybe false expectations of what could happen. So I think they're prepared for that in a pretty significant way. That's why you saw more of Chad Patrick at the end. That's why you saw Robert Gasser at the end. You know, all the things that, if you had watched the games on television, Jason, we were explaining this to you very,
yeah, Jason, Joe,
very peacefully and like in a very detailed manner, Joe.
Let's get back to tennis. So this has been great.
Joe Fonseca.
we love having you, and I am smart. The most important thing here is that I am smarter now because of you. So I appreciate that. Now I'm gonna
Are
do some
emotional. That's I don't want you to lose your emotion though. So right, when you think back to Brewers postseason past, do you think about 1982? Or do you think about the Brewers going into game 163 and beating the Cubs at Wrigley? Like, what's
yeah,
on that scale?
Yeah, Joey.
Scale, or Nigel Morgan driving in a Carlos Gomez to win an NLDS game. Like, is that popping up the little things on your shoulder, angels, demons, whatever that is?
I'm guessing Joey is thinking of the air out by Grisham in the outfield and the home run by Puig. And that am I right, yeah. Joey?
Raleigh Fingers getting hurt.
Yep. Pete Ladd. Yep, so, Joey, am I right or not?
So, I'm thinking of Gorman Thomas striking out in game 7 in St. Louis.
Joey half cup.
All right. you have other stuff to do, and I've embarrassed myself sufficiently today. So I want to get to this. And you know, my friend John Kerry and I are a lot alike. When we get to be friends with amazing people, you know, whether it's Matt LaPay in that space of play-by-play or you in your space, we're going to call like we see it. And we are so lucky to have both of you as friends of ours, because you both are so magnificent at your jobs. And you also don't really enjoy people doing what I'm doing now by talking how star-spangled awesome you are. But I'm going to do it anyway for this one reason. One of the things that I found myself doing, I do not like to watch a lot of regular season NBA basketball, but I still am a channel surfer with cable. And so what I am writing, I am surfing through channels, usually stopping on a Law & Order rerun. But if I get to a game that Brian Anderson is doing, I don't care who the two NBA teams are, I leave it on. Okay? I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. Mm-mm. What has the transition been like for you? And what, like, it's not like you're not busy. I get it. But how are you kind of figuring out exactly what your super busy schedule, but with a very major change to it, is going to be like moving forward? Because you are as good as it gets at this job.
Well,
and
thanks,
I'm not just saying that because you're on our show.
That's very kind. I really appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you. So on a personal level, you know, I've been working in the NBA mostly since 1992. In some capacity, whether it's behind the scenes or as a sideline reporter with the Spurs or play-by-play with TNT. So there is a piece of me that is like, you know, that's a little sad. On the other hand, you know, I've been married 32 years, so I haven't dated, but it's very similar to if she doesn't want to go on a date with you, then I'm going to not I'm going to focus on the one that does. And that's kind of where I'm at, because TNT, we made a big offer, massive bid, equaled the other bids. They didn't want to be on a date with us. And I decided to stay at TNT because I love TNT. And then I knew we were going to be picking up other things like Roland Garros, which I love, and obviously baseball, which we will continue. And then we added two major packages of college basketball. So we got the Big East and we got the Big 12 starting in January. And I'm going to be on the Big East and the Big 12. And I'm doing this massive tournament in Vegas called the Players Era Tournament, which is 18 teams over Thanksgiving. We've got opening night in college basketball. So I'm ecstatic to get back to college basketball, and I'll be plenty available for your channel surfing on college basketball on TNT. We're doing a ton of games, heavy volume of regular season college basketball games, which I haven't done in probably 6 years, maybe pre-pandemic, the last time I worked for Fox doing the Big East. We still have March Madness. You know, March Madness is a big part of my schedule and my life and my passion. And now we get to do regular season games that leads up to March Madness. So I'm pumped. I mean, I can't wait to start this next chapter with TNT, and I'll miss the NBA. I'll watch. All my friends are going to be doing NBA games on TNT, but you know, it's an easy thing to move on from for me, because we got another date. So we keep moving.
And maybe you'll see your wife of 32 years at least a little more often than you have at times.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, generally speaking, we do television in a kind of a specific way, and we're going to take all those sensibilities. So nothing changes for me. It's the same NBA crew, same guys that are doing the MLB postseason that I'll be working with on Saturday in Philadelphia. They're all my friends, the people I work with for 18 years now with Turner Sports or TNT Sports. So that's really what matters. The gigs are the gigs, and like the things you cover, that's one thing, but it's the relationships internally that matter most, and I'm not losing that. So therefore, I'm not losing a huge chunk of that side of it. I'm not going to work with Stan Van Gundy anymore, which that makes me a little sad, but you know, Reggie Miller, I'm not working with him anymore, but I'm working with Grant Hill, and I'm working with all the guys I always work with. So all good. It's going to be great.
Well, I'm glad you'll have more time to talk to us. I look forward to the next time you're on.
Yeah, anytime.
Except when Micah Parsons gets traded.
Yeah, next trade. Line me up for the next big Packers trade, and I'll be ready.
Brian, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
All right, great to be with you guys. Talk soon.
That is Brian Anderson. He will be on the call of the Phillies,
Dodgers,
and Dodgers on
Shohei
TBS.
Starting game one. Electric. That'll be an electric joint.
And he'll have the NLCS.
Yep. Where it sounds like the Brewers are underdogs. Brewers are going to be underdogs the whole way.
For Cubs, Phillies.
Plucky little group.
Was that
awkward at all? Anybody else think that was awkward when you're asking him about his dating his wife? And
like, I didn't say that he said dates.
No, but then you followed up, and there was like a. Was I crazy? There was like a super long pause.
There was a pause.
There was a pause.
No, it wasn't just like a pause. It was a pause on a pause on a pause. It was a triple pause.
It was a pregnant pause.
No.
Like a triple 17.
It felt like 9 months.
Yeah. It was a triple pause, and I literally am thinking, where is this going?
Yeah,
that was fun.
BA.
I,
I,